How's your week going?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I started doing some DoorDashing. That was an experience.
We are not sponsored by DoorDash, but DoorDash, yeah, if you would like.
Yeah. You can sponsor us, I guess.
Please.
Be pretty cool. Behind, of course, Lisa's Tequila. Vita Tequila. That's still number one. That's what we are trying hard to get.
I miss Lisa.
I know. I do, too. Honestly, watching, I mean, I guess we'll get into this, but the girls trip, they did clips of Salt Lake and I saw Lisa and I thought, I miss Lisa. I really do. Oh
God.
I just do.
Same.
But yeah, you know, kind of slow week for me. Not a lot to report.
I mean, it's your first week not working at Stitch Fix.
Yeah. Kind of footloose and fancy free. So that was nice. It's still a little hard for me to wrap my head around, but nice.
Does it feel real yet?
I think it'll feel real after I get back from my friend's wedding. Because then things will really settle in. But yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
Pretty solid week.
Yeah.
I say that, but I just made a post on our Instagram saying that this week has been unruly and I've been swamped, which is why we are not covering Summer House in Jersey this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, my week's been cool. It's been calm. No, I mean, it's just been busy. Family stuff, work shit.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of gotten away from me.
It catches up with you.
Yeah. But we're here doing Vanderpump.
Here we are. Yes. I mean listen, fuck. I think we have to realize that we have to prioritize. And if we and at this point in Bravo, if we have to prioritize a show, it has to be Vanderpump right now.
Yeah.
As it stands.
Well, I felt bad that we weren't covering those other episodes, but I mean, what was there really to cover?
No, it'll continue.
It's the same shit on both shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta be transparent that I'm behind on Summer House.
I mean, but here's the thing. You could watch next week's episode without watching the other two that you've missed.
And be fine.
We'd be in the same fucking place. Not much has changed. Little bitty baby things here and there, but we're chipping away really fucking slowly. The way that I put it is I feel like Eddie Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. And I'm gonna be chipping away at the show for the next 40 fucking years before I can dig myself out of the sewage that I feel like we're at right now with Summer House.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the show. It's just a little slow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's without seeing the past like two episodes. That's the vibe I'm getting online is that it feels very much like Lindsay and Carl and everyone's going to bed, I guess, like at 9 and waking up and going to the boot camp. And everyone's like, why are we watching this?
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe with like I love Paige and I love Sierra and Myra. Maya.
Yeah.
I almost called her Myra.
Maya.
And I like Amanda. So I like enough of the people that I can really watch it, but I just haven't continued it.
Yeah, I feel like you're not really missing too much.
But yeah, the vibe I'm getting online is that people are kind of bored.
Yeah. So. I think a part of that, though, is because of Vanderpump.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people would still be kind of bored, but it may not hit them the same way if what was going down on Vanderpump wasn't
such a shit show.
I mean, it's fucking shit show.
It's insane. Yeah. JJ was like, I thought at this point we would kind of be like the dust was settling with Scandoval. We would kind of be moving on. But and I think also maybe because a reunion just filmed, it's not ending.
I mean,
I honestly thought my newsfeed was going to kind of flush out, and it did a little bit with like stuff that didn't have anything to do with Bravo or Scandoval, but it's still bad. Now it's coming back in full force. Like it is Scandoval till the day that we go away.
Hey y'all, welcome to Reality Bites, the podcast where we'll deep dive into this week's buzziest reality TV and pop culture happenings.
I'm Betsy, and while I may be 9 to 5 by day, I'm a reality connoisseur by night.
And I'm JJ, a reality TV producer by trade, but my favorite pastime is dishing unfiltered dirt and behind-the-scenes scoop. We'll tackle the biggest and best water cooler moments of the week through an insider lens you won't find anywhere else.
Buckle up, buttercups.
Please don't tell me it's about Tom.
It's about Tom.
This is Reality Bites. I mean, before we get into it, what are your overall thoughts this episode?
I didn't have as strong of emotions as I did the previous episode. But I mean, I thought it was good. I think because we have this like cloud over us with the Raquel and Tom stuff, every episode feels heavier than what it would be if we didn't have that, right? So it's like it's enriching the entire episode, but I thought the episode was over. I thought it was all right.
Yeah. If we didn't know what we know now, it probably would have been a little bit more of a filler episode.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's interesting to watch it knowing what we know now because it's fucking insane. I mean, it just doesn't end.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about this week. Raquel wasn't even going to go to the fucking reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in the 11th hour, she's going.
Yeah. Thank God.
She, I don't want to say like took away the restraining order, but she, I guess...
Dropped it.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh my God. Jeez. Yeah. She dropped the restraining
which
order.
Which I predicted, but I actually predicted that would happen after the reunion. So I guess it was a little bit premature, which I'm happy about because I'm happy she was there.
Same. Me too. It just feels like stressful and we don't even fucking know what happened at the reunion. I mean, we have little bits and pieces here and there that have kind of been leaked, but nothing that's surprising.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, nothing. Oh, wait. Yes. Something that is a little surprising that quote, she gave papers to Andy to serve to Sheena.
What?
Supposedly.
What kind of papers?
Exactly. What kind of papers? It's probably a coloring book. You know what I mean? It was probably, honestly, it was probably like Mia on Potomac. Who came with all these papers, but really, like, they were all blank. She only had one piece of paper with shit on it.
It was just, like, a notebook.
Yeah.
A journal that
with had, the alphabet, like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm like, okay.
A journal without having any entries in it yet.
Yeah, so supposedly she showed up to the reunion and had papers to give to Sheena, and I guess asked Andy to, quote, serve them to her. The papers had nothing to do with the restraining order. It was something completely irrelevant. And honestly, I didn't care enough to really jot down what it was about because it's all smoke and mirrors and bullshit. So I'm like, oh, I'm not even going to fucking entertain that because it's garbage. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
So it might not even make it to air.
If you were so concerned, why the fuck did you even come?
Well, I wonder because the stuff I've seen with the seating charts, it does still look like maybe they're not on... like set together, maybe that's changing. I don't know, but
I think that they still have to separate them. The restraining order, correct?
Okay,
I still think that they have to, or maybe not. Maybe we got that seating chart. Maybe she dropped the restraining order yesterday. I don't know. I'm led to believe that the restraining order still exists, and if she dropped it, that's great. But perhaps they decided to still split them up at the reunion.
Yeah, maybe so.
I'm not mad about it because. Just speaking from experience, watching a reunion live, so much happens that I think if they were all in the room, restraining order or not, it would be very difficult to get anything done.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
I mean, reunion days are fucking crazy. They're psycho.
Imagine this.
And it's 12 fucking hours or longer. And there's only so much that you see. I know sometimes you get like two parts or three parts, but it's still a fraction.
Wow.
So...
We're in for it.
We are in for it. There's still so fucking much to unpack. And we're probably not going to get the reunion until May. What the fuck are we going to do in the meantime? Is it going to be like this until May? Because I honestly don't know if I have the stomach for it.
Well, I mean, obviously we're going to get the new stuff of what they shot eventually.
Yeah, but so, like at the end. At the end.
So we'll at least get it before the reunion.
No, I know. But I just mean watching the show as it stands.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot to stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like this every week.
Do you ever feel like that, though, as a producer, always knowing, like on shows you worked on, like always knowing what's going to come?
Yeah.
And watching it on TV being like, well, you just don't even know yet.
Correct.
So you're probably used to this feeling more than we are.
Yes. Yes. But it's not like this. I know something's going to come out, but there's not going to be a laundry list or like a thinly veiled episode where we know what we know now, but then I can watch the whole episode and go, oh my God, like you're horrible. I don't think that I've necessarily experienced anything like this specifically. Like,
none of us have. It's like, it really is a first for Bravo in this sense that, of what we're seeing.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to compare it to.
There is nothing really to compare it to.
I mean, it really is a first.
I would say the closest thing would be Teresa and Joe going to prison or involved with all the legal stuff because you can watch the episodes and go, ooh, you did that. Like you paid for something in cash or, oh, that doesn't seem savory. And then you can go back in hindsight, which is kind of what we're doing now. This just feels like a loot. Mm-hmm. And yes, I have experienced as a viewer and a producer going, oh God, you guys don't even know what's to come. The thing that saddens me the most, and when I say saddens, I mean, it's just more of like, oh, this is going to hurt later. Not me, but them, is a cast member who is universally liked, but then they don't know that like something's about to drop and they're going to be fucking hated after that. So I always say, enjoy it while it lasts, because your ass is about to get handed to you. And that sucks.
Yeah.
And it also sucks as a producer, because even if you're not on the show anymore, the cast members still call you when it's airing. Like, you're a crisis control center because they know what's to come. And the shittier thing about it is I'll see the episodes before they do.
Yeah.
So I definitely know what's to come. Like, they know what's to come because they experienced it, and I know how it's going to be edited. And I can always count that a cast member is going to call me when they get the episode a few days before it airs, because I've seen it. So I just know that they're going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
And cry. And I say like, cry like in
you're the hotline.
I am the hotline.
Yeah.
A lot of therapy sessions.
But what did you think about this episode?
It wasn't a filler, but it was kind of the episode to set things up for the bigger things that we're about to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like if we didn't have the scandal of it all, this episode would have been all about Katie and Tom, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of that ending scene. And then also all about, I feel like the blow up between like the room, the room gate of it all would have been a much bigger deal than really it is, as it turns out, you know?
I mean, it still really enraged me, and we'll get to that in a second.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I say enraged very hyperbolically because obviously I'm not enraged, but yeah, it annoyed me. It annoyed me, and it's just like annoying, and it's so Sheena. It's like so such a Sheena fucking thing to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like you. I mean, it was a good episode. It wasn't blowing me out of the water.
Yeah.
And I think I can say that confidently and objectively, that regardless of Scandoval or not, I would have felt the same way.
Yeah. Well, we do begin the episode again at Guy's Night.
Yes, we are at the Mondrian.
What's the game plan?
We're just going to walk in and just... Didn't they're going to be excited? Probably not. Are we going to get thrown in the pool?
Great time, Ariana, take a piss.
Like, genuine.
Oh, no, Brandon, I'm sure
what the f*** are you
into?
Oh,
speaking of this,
what's up?
Oh,
my God.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Guys, night means nothing.
Hi,
Charlie.
Are you good?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to have fun. The whole purpose of this trip was to have fun, and it's been the opposite of that. Yeah. Katie's mom was there to join us. I know. She's
Love Terry.
She loves you too.
Love Terry.
She loves you too.
Where you at? She's my girl.
But you know, I had to explain in front of Terry the fact that I entertained the idea of making out with you.
Oh, yeah.
And then she started crying.
Talk to me. What the f*** happened?
Oh my God. Okay. I was being young and fun and single, living my life, and these girls like literally set me up to make me seem like I'm only chasing after guys that they're interested in. Lala goes, honestly, Rakan, I'm really concerned about you right now. Honestly, I would never trust you around my man. And I said, well, it's a good thing you don't have one.
Good thing you stood up for yourself. She does not like to be challenged.
You said something again, which made it even better.
What did I say?
Lala, I shouldn't trust you. You my boyfriend, and you were a mistress. So if anyone shouldn't trust you around my boyfriend, it should be you. And then they stormed up and left us at the restaurant, and we had a great time.
The guys' night, and Raquel and Charlie are still climbing up those stairs.
Climbing.
Sandoval's like, hey, guys.
Hey, I didn't know you guys were coming. It's like, please, could you be any more fucking obvious? Like, obviously you knew that they were coming. What are you guys doing here?
I mean,
can I just say this for a second? Even if it was a surprise, why the fuck is he acting like that?
Because he's extra, remember?
He's so extra. Mm-hmm. If Tom Schwartz arrived unannounced and Sandoval didn't know, would he be like, Tom, what are you doing here? No. So it's like, why give yourself away? You give yourself away.
You felt like you caught him in an act?
Yeah.
Is that how you feel?
I feel like I caught him in the act of being a bad actor.
Yeah. Well, he is a bad actor.
I mean, there's a reason why his career only went so far.
Well, unfortunately, we're still seeing it.
Yeah. We're going to continue to see a bad actor. Here's the thing. I felt like he was a bad actor this season before we knew about Scandoval. Because as we've said before, and I'm trying not to just be repetitive with this, he always felt like there was something off. Like, he and Ariana, something's just kind of amiss with their relationship. Yeah. And little do we know, it's because they're between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, seriously, I'm like, oh, God. Okay, now we get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're at guys' night. The girls show up. Sheena's there.
The girls show up. James has a strong reaction, which I can understand. I can understand that he's like, the guys' night means nothing. Like, you know, there they are. And Sheena's one thing. But then, of course, you bring in Raquel and Charlie. And Raquel is obviously not just Raquel, but the ex-fiance who it seems like, you know, the girlfriend has made it clear, like, y'all need to start kind of, to the best of your ability, kind of clear your path.
Yeah.
Like, don't see each other as often as you. I mean, you're in the same circle, so you're going to see each other at some point. But, like, try to distance yourself as much as possible. So I did appreciate, I guess I should say, the sense of, like, James really wanting to, like, be respectful of the girlfriend and be like, this is not what my girlfriend wants. I shouldn't be here. But also, like, when he texted her, like, oh, my God, Raquel and Charlie just showed up. And the girlfriend goes, so leave. I was like, okay, that seems a bit silly to me. But I guess eventually he did leave. I just think that at that point, it's like, you're with your group of guys. Yes, the ex-girlfriend, our ex-fiance is there. But if you're going to be in a relationship with someone, you're going to have to trust them.
100%.
So I don't think he needed to leave. But you could tell that he was having this internal, like, angst of like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I gotta get out of here. I at least have to text her. I gotta get out of here. I'm like, he's like really freaking out.
Well, here's what I'll say. My takeaway from that scene was I felt like James has grown. There's a little bit of growth there. Now, I'm obviously not blind to all the things that he's done leading up to here, but if we're gonna allow somebody to have a chance, I would say I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think that he needed to leave either. However, everything leading up to this point, I don't think has sat well with Allie. Like Raquel pulling her aside, sure, all these conversations that I think in this moment, although I think it's a little hyperbolic and we're overdoing it just a little, I think she feels a little insecure. And I think that that's okay for her to say and to set boundaries. I don't think that Allie is going to expect James to have those boundaries for eternity. I just think for right now, I think she feels a little odd about it. And her response to him saying that she's there, you know, leave, to me, it just really symbolized somebody who's 25. So I wasn't surprised by
all
this.
Is she 25?
Yeah, she's a baby. No.
How old is he?
30? 29? 30? So I didn't think it was a big deal. I wouldn't have done that. It just kind of felt like a 25-year-old. Who, by the way, do you blame her for feeling a little insecure?
No.
Sometimes the way that he talks about Raquel, I would be led to believe like maybe he still has feelings. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I think he's just still processing the breakup. But I think I would feel a little insecure. I don't know if I'd set that boundary, though, because I would trust him. But I'm also speaking as a 35-year-old.
Well, and also, listen, I will give him a little leniency.
Leniency. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That I think he has grown a little bit.
I think texting her was big.
I think he is. But I also think that if you think about it, why text her? Just leave. Like, if to me, honestly, I think he was texting her to get kind of like reassurance, like either it's okay, don't worry about it, or no, you need to leave. Like
100%.
He was testing the waters to what is okay to do. And I like that he's trying to, you know,
think about his significant other, think
about her, what she would want to do and what she would want him to do. So like, I do acknowledge that, but I just, it did not read well for me. I was like, this has insecurity written all over it. But
100%.
It's a new relationship still. And yes, Raquel is all up in his life. And I think that it's fair to be a little bit on edge. And she knows that he did cheat on her, meaning Raquel. So like, I think that that has to go into the picture and, you know, makes sense. But
here's what I'll say.
I think it was a little bit over the top.
It is over the top, 100%. I just look at it more from a sense of I can validate why she feels the way that she does. It's clear she's insecure.
Sure.
So because of her insecurity, she's trying to set this boundary that'll make her feel better. But that can only last so long. If this continues and she continues to feel a certain type of way forever, yes, I do think that her and James need to have a serious conversation about how can they work together at making each other feel good and confident within their relationship.
Yeah.
This can't last forever, Allie. I'm so sorry. You're on a show. I mean, I also don't think that she means it in every instance. Now, this, I feel like, was a little bit of an anomaly. I don't think that she expects him to never be around her. I just think that she wants to be there. if he ever is.
Well, and the irony is that Raquel will probably be pushed out of the group. So now she won't have to worry about it.
Oh my gosh, she'll never have to fucking worry
about it. She will never have to worry about it again.
I just love the fact that Allie's probably sitting at home going, I don't know what I was going to say.
Please go on.
I was going to say, who's winning now? But really, she never lost. But my point is that I'm sure she feels just a little better.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's probably some truth to that. And
yeah. And I think by now their relationship's in a different place. At this point, they've only been dating for what?
I don't know.
4 or 5 months. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
So it's a new relationship. She's younger. You know, I don't think James is going to be up to no good, but I am happy that he's checking in with her. I think there's these little moments that show that James is maturing and there's growth. Because if it were Raquel and it was 3 years ago, he'd be like, fuck you.
No, truth. That is very, very true.
And he does say that he's going into this new relationship really trying to set forth, I don't know, like good decisions and really thinking about the other person and just trying to start with a fresh, clean slate and try to leave the old James behind, the one that was chaotic and a mess when he was with Raquel. Mm-hmm. The last couple of years he wasn't, but it was just a very contentious relationship to me because I think it just started off on the wrong foot. And there were so many cheating accusations and allegations that like, how can you actually have a solid relationship? You just can't. And then we ultimately find out at least one of the accusations is true, that he did fuck Lala. So there's just a lot here. But in that sense, I was happy to see some growth from him.
Yeah.
You know, juxtapose against all the other trash that's at this fucking event or gathering. Trash, trash, trash. Trash.
Well, speaking of that, when Raquel showed up, I felt like they were really trying to kind of like push the narrative that it was still Tom Schwartz and Raquel. Right. They were sitting next to each other. They were really the ones talking. You know, she brought up the situation with like, oh, you know, I met Katie's mom and I told Katie's mom that I wanted to make out with you. And Schwartz was like, oh, I love Katie's mom, but who cares? Who cares if you want to make out with me?
I just thought that conversation with Katie's mom was just weird. Who brought it up? I don't remember.
God, I don't remember either. I
feel like Katie brought it up. I think that that's what happened. I think Katie brought it up in the sense of talking about Sheena.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, maybe
that's
so.
What it was. That's what it
and
was.
And then Raquel was like, and I asked him to make out. You know, she always offers up that information. But
I just don't understand why she does that. I'm like, please just shut the fuck up.
I don't know. Maybe it is like pageant stuff. It's like, it's your turn to talk. So say what you have to say. She's like, I killed the officer.
Yeah, but in pageants, they don't teach you how to say something stupidly.
I don't know about that.
They teach you how to have tact. They teach you, they basically media train you.
Raquel's okay, so not media she trained. Wasn't in pageants then, is what you're telling me.
No.
I mean,
like, she doesn't.
What
feel
you just
media
said is opposite of what I feel about Raquel.
Well,
I mean,
because is it Lala that said this? She short circuits. Like, she, like,
oh, I don't I know mean, if Lala said that or not, but it kind of tracks.
She does. It feels like a wire is crossed and she starts like spritzing out. And like, there's little like little flames of like, because something's about to blow up.
I don't recall who brought it up in Vegas, but when she brings it up to Schwartz at Guy's Night,
yeah,
you know, he has the response like, well, who cares? Why does it matter? And it's like, really? I just thought that was really silly of him to say, like, why would his ex-mother-in-law not care at all about, oh, yeah, someone's wanting to make out with my ex-son-in-law and they're not really even divorced. Like, why? It's just like. But then I also think about Schwartz, like, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's not stupid, and he just doesn't give a fuck, so.
I mean, categorically, he's not wrong. Like, who cares? But at the same time, like, are you fucking blind? What is wrong with you? But do we expect anything less from him?
No.
I mean, no.
That's why I'm like, I don't care.
I mean, he fucking told his ex-wife that he cheated on her at an event in front of everyone. Why would we expect anything fucking more?
Yeah, this was a bad episode. I say, this was a bad episode for him, as if, like, not every episode is a bad episode for him, but this one was really rough, I thought.
It was tough. But it was tough. He was a little nasty.
Well, he's always nasty.
He's just mean. He just hits where it hurts, and I know that Katie can, too, and they were both equal parties in their marriage at doing this, but sometimes I'm just like, yo, dude, rein it the fuck in. Like, why do you have to drag her all the fucking time?
Yeah.
I mean, shit. But anyway, going back to Guy's Night, what happened is exactly what I predicted in the last episode of our recap.
Which is what?
Raquel shows up, laments, tells everyone what happened in Vegas.
Yeah.
And Sandoval's going to be right there waiting for her to fall into his arms, because that's what Sandoval does. Sandoval does the, oh, I hate this person. I hate that person. Yeah. I don't like this. He did exactly what he would do, because he's predictable.
Yeah. It was interesting that we really didn't see them together in the show. Like, we saw them in group settings, but like, that was it.
You mean Tom and Raquel?
Throughout that scene, we don't really see, what I'm saying is, like, we don't really see them having a conversation. Like, we see them in the group, but like, we don't really see them in a real way together in that, even though like everything that we know and everything that's speculating is that apparently like the affair started after this night, right?
Yes. We don't really see them together at the Mondrian. However, what I did notice is that there's a lot of pandering. It doesn't feel to me that he's just inquisitive. Like, he just wants to know what happened in Vegas. Like, oh shit, what the fuck happened? Like, why are you here? He's pandering. He's like, what happened? Like, almost saying things like, are you okay? Like, talking to her almost as if she's a victim before she's even said anything. It just feels very like petting. Like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're here? Oh, pleasant surprise. I didn't know what happened in Vegas. Like, it just feels very actory, but bad actory. And it just feels like a loot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we don't really see them together, like not intimately, but just like, you know, one-on-one. But we do see them talking and talking about what had happened. And again, to no surprise, he's on Raquel's side because, you know,
shocker.
He always backs the wrong horse.
Yeah.
Always backing the wrong horse.
Which is his horse. Let's make no mistake. He backs nobody but himself. 100%. And when he backs people, it's because it elevates him and he can control the narrative. So
100%.
And his horse is the losing horse.
Before we leave Guys Night, I have some pertinent details and information about that night that may change your POV of this entire episode.
Oh.
And knowing what we know, it's always been speculated that their affair started on or around Guys Night.
Yeah.
But we've never actually known in stone what happened, when it started, and all that shit. Yeah. And I know it came out today that it was discussed at the reunion when Raquel and Sandoval started dating, having
catching
sex,
feelings,
or whatever
maybe.
The fuck it was,
right?
And there didn't seem to be a solid answer on that. The timeline's kind of like, you know, there really isn't a timeline. Yeah. It just kind of spread out and layered and whatever.
Yeah.
However, with that said, I was given some details about that night that would lead me to believe that if there's a timeline, it did start on Guys Night.
What do you mean?
Okay.
What? What is it?
So,
do I want to know?
Yes, you do want to
know.
Yes, you do want to know. And I'm going to tell you
no,
why.
No, I do want to know. I just
because
said that.
Because it'll change, I think, how we're recapping this episode. Okay, so after the night at the Mondrian, Tom drove Raquel to her car. Her car is parked at Tom and Ariana's house. I don't know the details, how it got there. Really, frankly, it doesn't fucking matter.
Okay.
So he drove her back to her car, in Ariana's car, the Lincoln. If you have seen any of the paparazzi photos, she's always in this like Lincoln sedan.
Okay.
So he drives her back to her car, which is parked at their house. They have sex.
What the fuck? What?
Dead serious. They have sex in the car.
Wait. Tom and Raquel are having sex in the car in front of Tom and Ariana's house?
Correct. Tom and Raquel have sex in Ariana's car outside of Ariana and Tom's house.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I'm dead ass serious. I wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't true. I would have just said, I heard this and I'm not sure, but no, no, no.
Oh. Wow.
Good authority. Here's what I'll do. I'll say 98% true, just to give a little bit of room for...
Like, maybe they stepped out and actually went into Raquel's car.
Yes.
Maybe that's a 2%.
By the way, yes, exactly that. Exactly that.
But, oh, my God.
Okay, so how do you fucking feel about it?
I don't even know. I don't even know.
I was shook.
I honestly, like... I guess it's like, what do I expect? Like, yeah, that makes sense. But like, well, to think that like they did it in the car in front of Ariana and Tom's house, like, but then there's also some speculations that they like had sex in the guest room of the house. So it's like, but that's wild that really is like.
Correct. It's so trash.
That makes sense though. Yes. It's horrifying.
And the thing is, we kind of speculated, but none of us really knew, but no, it literally started that night.
Wow.
Doesn't it kind of change the way that you see this entire fucking episode?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Yes, because it's like now we know that they actually like hooked up and had sex. Mm-hmm. Because I always was kind of coming from the perspective of like they did, the affair started somehow after guys' night. Now, does that mean like, oh, they made out? Maybe just there was an inappropriate boundary that was crossed. But now to know that they actually had sex in a car that night in front of
not Ariana just any car.
And Ariana's car.
And she's home because she's grieving the loss of her dog.
Shut the fuck up. I want him to be lit on fire at the reunion. And I...
outside of their home.
Disgusted.
In her car.
Disgusted.
While she's upstairs, presumably.
Oh, God.
Grieving the loss of her dog.
Y'all, trash. He's trash. She's trash. They're both trash. I still stand by that. Yeah. I think, you know, Sandoval's more trash than her, but they're both trash.
But here's,
they both need to be taken out and be picked up and taken to the bigger garbage dump. Out of here.
And here's what I'll say, because we did get some DMs, some comments here and there that some of the listeners may have felt we were glossing over or excusing Raquel. And I know that's not what our intention was. I can understand that that was the impact to some of our listeners. Most of our listeners understood where we were coming from, where we both felt as though Raquel's this person. We all know what Raquel and Sandoval did, but we want to look at these episodes objectively, these scenes, and not necessarily hold her feet to the fire for things that her and Sandoval did in these moments where they hadn't been together.
Right.
Okay. But the second that I was given that information and now I know what day it started, that means a lot to me. I know that it's speculated, so we can just kind of have broad distaste. But for me, because I have integrity and I'm fair, knowing when this actually began, like the day and the moment that they fucked, it changes everything for me. It changed the entire episode. I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised it was that day. But I do think that I left a little room for, well, they haven't had sex yet. They're not having an affair yet. Maybe it was the week after. We don't know.
Yeah.
And then I watched this entire episode and I'm going,
fuck off. Literally.
Fuck you both.
And I think they were counting on that. They were counting on like us not really knowing all the specific details because it's already been exposed, but they're like, how can we keep as much as we can to our chest? And here we go, guys. Now we know. Now we know they had sex on guys' night in Ariana's car. In front
outside
of their house.
Their house.
That's disgusting. Yeah. That's horrifying. I don't even know what the episode was about. No, I don't even know what to say. Mm-mm. I remember Sheena had like a dry board and like had words on there at some point, but like I don't even know what else to say.
Okay, bro, you get a gold star for brushing your teeth.
I mean, I don't even, that's fucking wild. And I hate to be like, oh, I'm shocked, because like, obviously we knew.
Of course.
We knew this happened. But
I do think
like,
it'll change things for
but
people.
But then also like the visualization of like seeing that now, I don't even want to see it.
It's fucking nasty. It's nasty.
Yeah. You're nasty.
Fucking nasty. Also, this little detail kind of just got away from us because this is so fucking bombastic. Her car was there. So that means they all knew that she was coming. Like Tom Sandoval knew that she was going to show up at guys' night.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, that's where the bad acting comes in, right?
Correct.
Hey, what
are you doing here?
Hey,
like, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, could you just be better at it? For fuck's
sake.
Well,
no, that's why he's on Vanderpump and not starring on some other, you know, pilot TV show.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, he has made it, you know. Tom Sandoval in The Most Extras.
Barely. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but he is on stage. Yeah. He does have that.
It's just fucking trash.
That's awful. That is really, really gross. And honestly, that makes me believe some of the speculation and narratives out there that like maybe they did hook up in the house, which is absolutely despicable.
I mean,
but then I'm like, why would I ever put anything past this guy? This guy will do fucking anything. So why am I surprised? I'm sure they've had sex where they sleep, where he and Ariana sleep. I'm sure they've had sex in that bed. And that's disturbing to me.
To me, it just feels... it feels reckless, but I also think it screams everything Jack said in the press, which is, I'm
Who
Tom
cares?
Sandoval.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get caught.
Yeah. I just also think he didn't care.
Yeah, because you and I sit here and we go, like, you did it in the car, which means, yeah, of course we think he did in the house. Like, were you not scared? Of course he wasn't. Because he didn't think he would get caught. because he thought that he could beat the
system. He's untouchable. He's untouchable.
Guys, I've said it before, and I'm always going to say it every time an opportunity presents itself. Cast members will never be able to hide. We know where the bodies are buried. We will find you. It will rise to the surface like a dead fish. And Sandoval thought that he could circumvent the system, and he didn't. So, yeah, I believe that they also fucked in the house. Because why wouldn't they? If it was so easy to fuck in the car outside of the house, being a hop, skip, and a jump away from Ariana, who's upstairs grieving the dog, why wouldn't I believe that they would fuck in the house? It's like...
That's really, really, really gross.
It's almost as if he wanted to get caught because he was too coward to actually break up with her. And now I wonder... Were you ever going to break up with her? Or did you just hope that you would get caught?
Well, I don't. Sadistic. I don't know that he wanted to get caught because I think he does very much care about his image and he likes to pretend. But I do think that maybe there is a possibility where it was so dangerous because he's gotten away with it for years. Guys, he's been with Ariana, what, 9 years? Almost 10, maybe 9, I guess. And... Jax confirmed it on Watch What Happens Live, but really, let's be true. Do we need Jax to confirm anything? We know that this man has cheated on Ariana multiple times. It might not have been like this, where it was like an ongoing affair. It might have just been like girls here and there, but like this is not the Miami girl and Ariana are not the only two. And I think what we all knew that, whether Jax confirms it or not. And, you know, we take Jax with a grain of salt, but it is what it is.
100%.
This guy's a cheater. And so I think maybe there is an aspect to this where it's like, oh my God, I've gotten away with this for so long. Let me see how much I can do.
Well, yeah.
Let me have sex in the bedroom next to her. Yeah. So I think there is an aspect to that. But I also think he cares so much about what people think about him. That he would have rather have had it be a narrative where he could have, oh, you know, yeah, like we kind of started too soon, but, you know, Ariana and I weren't in a loving relationship and it was time for us to end. And so we had to break up, blah, 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 blah. But I just, everything that's coming out from the reunion that we know so far, again, we only know a very limited amount of information, but it's all the same information. So we know it has merit. Is that he is, you know, defending and deflecting, saying that, like, you know, you and I, meaning like Ariana and I, were not in a loving relationship.
Yep.
We let the sex go out of our relationship. We just weren't really together emotionally the way that we used to be. But that doesn't mean you cheat. Is Ariana cheating? And I'll tell you what, if she is, she's doing a much better job. But I don't think she is.
We're not counting that Lala moment.
Oh, come the fuck on.
So for those listening, who are like, well, wait.
No, stop it. Her and Lala,
no.
And besides, he was in the room, I think, when they were doing it. Wasn't that in the car?
They were in the fucking Uber.
Yeah, come on. So I just, it's no excuse.
You think he was doing it to get back at her, fucking in the car?
No, absolutely not.
Because she fucked Lala in the car?
I don't think he cared.
I know, I know. I was trying to make a little joke.
Let's re-edit
that. You're such a bitch.
Let's re-edit that so my laugh will go in.
Here's the thing.
A laugh track.
He's trash.
Yes.
And if there's anything that he has an abundance of and isn't lacking is hubris. He absolutely fucking did not think he was going to get caught. He's like a sad politician who loses an election and says, well, I didn't lose. The voting machines were down. This was all like, he's just like that type of a person. Mm-hmm. It's not me. It's them.
Yeah. Which makes sense as to why he probably had no shame showing up to the reunion. Because he was probably like, no, I can defend myself.
Which is why he also had no shame in saying, you don't know anything about us.
Oh, God.
We didn't have sex for 4 years. Like, it's just trash.
I'm going to have to be medicated for that episode. I'm just letting you know.
Nope. Yeah, I am. Same. I'm going to take a bunch of edibles. We're doing martinis that night, and I got to get loaded.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a live that night. Maybe it'll just be our live reaction to that
episode. We'll watch a scene or we'll watch an act, record.
Yeah.
Watch an act and record.
We'll see. Let us know what you think.
He's just trash. Trash. Mm. He's arrogant in a way that I'm just like, what? Like, honestly, in a way that Randall Emmett's arrogant. I'm like, dude, you're like a loser producer. Like, what are you talking about? Ugh. Like, you're C-team producer and you're on a reality show, Tom Sandoval. And you're in a band that... like tours ice houses, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, I'm judging you because you're trash.
Yeah.
I'm only judging you because you're trash.
Yeah, the band is actually really good. We have to eliminate him though.
God. Yeah. He can't even really sing.
No, I mean,
remember when he used to play trumpet?
Well, he can't do that either.
He just thinks he's good at everything. He thinks he's perfect.
But he's great at nothing. So no, that's the irony.
He's a covert narcissist.
That's the irony. He's terrible. No. Just tragic. And that's horrifying. But again, I guess I'm not surprised, but that
So now has your perception changed? How you see some of the other scenes for this episode that we're going to get into? You're like, nope.
Well, I don't know, because I'm trying to think of Raquel with like the pool scene.
Yeah.
And I honestly, and I guess we could get into this later, but like my big takeaways from the pool scene with Raquel is that I thought she was like a mini me of Sandoval.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, like watching her talk to Sheena being like, Lala's pathetic. Lala's jealous. Like even her mannerisms and her face, I was like, she looks like Sandoval. Like she looks like Sandoval. Like she just did a, you know, 5-hour workshop of the Sandoval narcissist class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she looks like to me. She took the class and now she kind of looks like a mini version of him talking about things. Cause like when she was talking about Lala, I was like, this looks like she is saying exactly what Sandoval wanted her to say, or like Sandoval has been feeding to her. Correct. So I was like, she just looks like a walking
disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she also reads to me, and I think I wrote this down or something, but it was after she was like, you know, the girls trip gave me life. I can't remember what she said, but like, I'm rejuvenated after the girls trip. I found my own. I'm making this up, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. And she, to me, is like the trope of every high school movie we watch when they made over like a quote unquote nerdy, ugly girl. And then she became popular, and then they became popular and they didn't know what to do. And they spiraled out of control. And then they became like unlikable. And like, that to me is what she is. She's finally kind of finding her voice and becoming like one of the popular girls, but it's, she doesn't know what to do and it's going very, very, very badly. I honestly kept thinking of Jawbreaker. Remember Fern?
I was just about, I hate you. I was literally about to say like, oh my God, it's like Jawbreaker, the Judy Greer.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Or like Patrick Dempsey in Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many examples, but like that to me is what it is. It's like, she's finally got her confidence.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
She didn't know what to do with it.
I do think some of her confidence in her voice she found independently. However, the entitlement this episode screamed Sandoval.
Yes.
And yes. I got to be honest, I felt that way before I found out what I found out.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's what I...
That's when you're saying, did it change my mind? I was like, I don't know, because I felt Sandoval all in this, but I'm still shocked.
But it's similar to what we were discussing in the last few episodes where it feels like Sandoval's kind of written all over it. I don't think that she doesn't have her own voice or she's not growing into her confidence. But the way that she told the girls that she was leaving, to me, felt like she had spoken to Sandoval. Like, I felt always that Sandoval knew that they were coming home. Mm-hmm. And it felt like he probably gave her the confidence to say, no, fuck them. Tell them off. You go in there. And because every time she gets into a position where she has to do something that's confrontational, she short circuits. Like Lala says, she's like, and I'm leaving. I'm just not wanted, or like whatever. I'm just not wanted here. I'm like, are you okay? Like, I believe you want to say this, but I think that you're so uncomfortable saying it. I'm led to believe you didn't get here on your own. Like, you were definitely supported.
I don't think
it was just Charlie.
Well, I thought it was maybe a producer pumping her up.
It could have been that too.
Specifically with that scene with Lala at the girls' trip. Like, he picked me over you, and that's why you're mad. I'm like, somebody told her to say that.
Bye.
But specifically this whole scene, especially when she was talking to Sheena, like just talking about how pathetic Lala was and how Lala was, and I, like, this is comedy coming out of my mouth, but that like, she was like, Lala's just jealous. Lala is not jealous.
No, she's not.
Every fiber of my being knows that Lala is not jealous of anything having to do with you.
No,
but like the way that she was talking, it felt like Sandoval's understudy.
Mm-hmm.
That it read all of that to me. And so now that I know what I know based off what you just said, it makes it even more true and easy to see.
Super easy to see.
So gross.
So fucking gross. Well, we left the Mondrian. We're back at the girls' trip.
Oh, yeah. I didn't take any notes on this one. I gotta be honest. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, nothing riveting happened. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the theme of the entire trip. It was kind of lackluster. That wasn't the intention, but given everything that happened, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The best part of the trip was Lala got laid.
Yeah.
I mean.
I was happy for that.
Yeah. She hadn't had sex.
Since the baby.
Yeah, but that's June 2020. She had not had sex in 2.5 years.
Well, and she said she hadn't had an orgasm, I think, since 2016.
I don't think that was something that we are shocked by. I think I could have gathered that on my own.
No, but.
But now that we know for sure, I'm like, oh, you poor thing.
So I think this was long due. Mm-hmm. This is a good episode for Lala.
I think this was a great episode for Lala.
I was happy to see that. And the guy's name is Don. Dom?
Don.
Dom? Like Dominic, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, I think I heard Dom. It was either Dom or Don. But you said Don. I'm like, wait, was it Don?
No, I think it was Dom.
I'm second guessing myself. Yeah. But yeah, girls trip, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad that we're out. And yeah. I'm glad that we're back in LA. Mm-hmm. Because a little boring.
Well, it just was...
It was just whatevs.
All good trips must come to an end, baby.
Oh, and the pinata. That was cool.
Yeah. Shorts, that was fine.
Shorts was bothered by it. I'm like,
who cares?
Get over yourself.
He didn't care.
Why do you fucking care? You shouldn't care.
He shouldn't.
And then that scene with Tom, and Lisa. Mm. Here's what I'll say. Because you and I talked about this last week. We're just overseeing these scenes about the fucking business. And by the way, not because of Scandoval, because I don't care and I'm bored. Mm. They're horrible businessmen. And the decisions that we're seeing that they've made or are going to make, I'm like, hello? You've been in or around food and bev for 15, 20 years. I'm not saying that you need to be a master, but I'd like to think that you have a pretty solid knowledge about how this fucking works. And every time they open up their mouths, I am shocked. And I wish that I wasn't. I wish that I could say, gosh, I'm not surprised. But no, I'm shocked. And the reason why I'm shocked is because they've put like millions of dollars into this. And I'm going, how have you spent this much money and you don't know a lick about shit? Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. I think at one point, Sandoval kind of like nudges him like, stop. When Schwartz mentions that they have a chef, he's amazing and he makes the best food and it's great and this and that. And then he drops that the chef has no experience running a full kitchen. And I'm like,
so it's like a private chef.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of those chefs that you hire to make meals for your family. Food's good, but the man doesn't know how to run a full kitchen. How can he translate that food that he makes that's so good and mass produce that throughout the night mm-hmm. and remain the integrity of the meal? We won't know because he's never fucking done it.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing. So at first I was like, I don't want to see these scenes. And now I'm like, you know what? No, I do want to mm-hmm. see these scenes because I need to know how stupid you are.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I actually loved it because it shows how much they don't know and how much they really, really believed that because of who they were by their names, that's all it was going to be. I really think their experience from TomTom, because let's keep in mind, they're 5%. That's how much they have.
Well, yeah. And Lisa doesn't expect
right.
of them the same that Greg
but
is.
But because they're Nate, it's the TomTom. It's in lights. They think that they are the shit. They think, and I'm
they
really
think they
saying,
did TomTom.
Yes, I know.
They're like, we did TomTom.
Yes.
I mean, and we only have 5%, but look, we did it. And like, no, there's the difference.
But
you
that's
Lisa
why,
backing you up.
That's why I think that this is fun to watch because it actually shows you they don't know anything.
No.
And they think that their names alone and their celebrity status is enough to get people through the door. And what they don't know is day-to-day how to actually run a fucking business. And so I love watching them just fumble and fuck it all up because they look so stupid and I'm here for it. That might have been my favorite scene of the night.
Greg,
you should tweet about it. Oh, great idea. I'm going to tweet. It's like, they're just fucking idiots.
Not to oversimplify this, but Greg is getting a return on his investment, but what he's put in is basically sweat equity. I'm sure he's gotten paid to some degree, but it's not his money that's invested.
Yeah.
It's theirs. But he's calling the shots because he's a restaurateur. Well, hello, that's a mistake. Of course it's going to take forever to open it if he wants everything to be perfect. I understand where he's coming from with that, but I'm with Lisa. When we found that out a few episodes and I went, wait, what? They signed over their bank basically to Greg. They're at the behest of Greg, but Greg doesn't have any fucking money in it. Not in the same way that they do. So they're paying for Greg to take his time. No. Mm-hmm. What the fuck are you doing?
Another mistake that they didn't know. And what did Lisa say? If you had showed me this, I would have told you not to do it.
Betsy, if they had showed me, I would have told them not to fucking do it.
But that just shows you how little they know. Or how little they cared. How reckless they were that they really thought they had enough to make this work. That they did that deal that everyone around them is telling them, oh, what a piss poor deal this is. No wonder you're in the position you're in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you pan to the women.
Oh my God. Can we talk about
that?
They
were doing everything.
Beautiful thread through.
Right.
Beautiful thread through. Producers, post, great
yes.
tracking of stories. Because it was so nice to see the juxtaposition of two women who are bright, successful, know what they're doing, going slow, meeting with Lisa,
asking questions. All the right
questions. Here's the thing. I believe that they would have done that on their own. But I do think there is an aspect where they're both going, you know what? Let's talk to Lisa because Lisa's going to have great advice. And that's going to look really good for us as business owners. If we want to be taken seriously, maybe somebody out there who watches the show will see that Lisa believes in us.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this the right way. And also, we're going to needle the boys because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
And they didn't believe in them. Schwartz didn't want Katie to have anything to do with Schwartz and Sandy's.
Loser.
Yeah. And now they're going to do it on their own and they're going to be successful.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Once it gets up and running, you and I are going there.
100%.
I love sandwiches.
I also thought about this because Lisa seemingly has always had a soft spot for the boys. She's really propelled them into a certain level of success that I don't think that they were going to have on the show independently, like Tom and all that shit, right? And she also knew that they didn't necessarily know what they were doing, but she capitalized on their mid-level fame, essentially, right? And at one point, I remember thinking when I was watching, how come she hasn't done this with the girls? I mean, she's kind of doing it right now, but not really. Like, why didn't she want to do that with Katie or Ariana before? And I'm glad that she didn't. And in a weird way, as much as I was kind of annoyed that I feel like she's always kind of given a lot to the men and not to the women, I almost wonder if it's because she expects more from them and she thinks so highly of them and she knows that they can do it on their own.
They're capable.
Correct. Like, she's using the boys kind of like as a court jester. Like, yeah. Kind of, like, I don't take you seriously, you're a joke.
They're there to shake hands and be in front of the camera. That is what she said to Greg. Mm-hmm. Their specialty is like schmoozing and like shaking hands, and the women can do things.
That's what I think. I think that she knows that she can always help the women, but I also think that she knows how empowering it is to do it on your own as a female.
Yeah, she's there as a mentor. Be there
on the wings.
Yeah, she's a mentor.
And I think the girls want to do it on their own. Like, yes, sure, they would take help from Lisa, but I also think, I don't know, I just felt like it's a nice moment.
I agree, and I'm excited. It sounds like they're going to be next to Sir, which I think will be obviously great, a great residence. What do they call it? Great, it's not great property. What do they say in the great real estate?
Oh.
Well, no, that can't be it.
Great real estate?
No, I thought there was like a term of like that. Oh, whatever, never mind. I think it is
prime real estate.
Well, I think
that's kind of more of the direction you're going in, right? Yeah. Like prime. Like, it's real estate, but it's prime real estate.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. It's
around the corner.
Yeah, it's around.
Yeah, it's on the same block as Sir, so it's perfect.
Well, one of these days, I'm going to have to go and hit up all of them. I've never been to any of the restaurants. I will skip.
I've been to Pump.
I'll skip the S&S, but I will go to all the other ones.
No Tom and no Sir.
Yeah, but I'm here for the women. I cannot wait to see it come full circle and get to kind of...
I'm so proud of them.
Get to kind of see it. Yeah, I am too. These two, Ariana and Katie, have come a long way. They really have. And I'm really, even in this episode, like, there were a few things that happened, but like, I really love this friendship. And I love that I know that now Katie is separated on the way to getting divorced, but even before that, they never really let the men get in the way of their shit. Like, they were always able to separate. Like, if Katie was really mad at Sandoval, which was 95% of the time, it didn't really affect Ariana and Katie of late. Maybe it would earlier on in this season. But
sure,
like
the Kristen years.
Of like the past 2-3 years, like they were able to separate that, which I actually really, really liked. And I'm loving their friendship that they're having. And I think it's, I really, really hope and like wish for the best for this restaurant.
They have strong voices and they're fair in the sense that if their significant other is doing something shitty, they call it out instead of what we see on Housewives where they go, well, that's not me. That's my husband. I don't control my husband. Yeah, but you can fucking say something to him. You sure as fuck can.
Oh, my God.
You can do that at least.
You can at the very least. Yeah, you can do at least something. Okay.
Yeah, but they don't do anything.
Well, they don't care.
They're riding high on mid-level fame. Okay. I'm dying to know what your thoughts are on this.
Okay.
How did you feel about Sheena wanting Katie to revoke her hotel room so that Jamie can fucking have it? Jamie, who I presume did this at the last minute, and now the hotel's booked.
I want to answer that question, but I don't want to forget, and I want to ask you a question real quick as a producer. Because I was watching that scene after they went through that tragic whiteboard checklist.
Here's the thing. It's endearing. And I know that households
use the checklist.
Yes. And I know that households use it and I know that couples do it and whatever, but anything Sheena does, I just cannot help but tack on a little tackiness to it. Right. Like, it I just think is. It's like, I'm like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing. I mean, other people do it, but when Sheena does, it's embarrassing. And it's really not. It is really endearing. It's just funny because Sheena's just Sheena. I say it every episode. I really fucking love her. She does have a good head on her shoulders financially. I think that she's the best with money. She has a routine. She's very, what's
she's anal.
Like, anal yeah, retentive? Like she's very like careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, within that same scene, when she hops onto the phone, and I'll put that in, you know, quotations, mm-hmm. and she's like, hey, what? I thought that that conversation seemed really, really fake. Not that it gave it away. No, well, I guess the acting. Yeah. Not that it didn't live in truth, but like, I don't believe there was anybody on the other side of that phone call. Yeah. No, wait, what did you say? I don't know. I'll figure it out. I've taken one acting class, and I think I could have done better than that. Now, I'm more improv-based, so I probably would have been able to think on my feet, but, like, and she was even smiling the whole time through the conversation. I just, as a producer, did you watch that scene thinking, oh, nobody's on the other side of that phone call? Or were you like, no, there could be somebody on that phone with her that we, like a ghost, maybe?
There was absolutely no one on the other line.
I feel so justified.
She 100% was acting. First of all, what really gave it away was that ring. I'm like, that ring is not associated with an iPhone. What the fuck ring was that?
I didn't even pick up on that.
Ring. It was like that. Ring, ring. I honestly
something they added in post or something?
Yes, exactly. I was like, what the fuck is that ring? Yeah, she was acting. There was no one on the other line.
Okay.
Now, it could be a few things, but given that we know it's Jamie, her bridesmaid, is also the Jamie who just released a podcast with Sheena on it, kind of talking about all the scandal stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was totally fake. I mean, it didn't change my perception of the scene. It just was funny because she was really acting.
She was.
It, like, really putting it on.
Yeah.
So my guess is that they didn't have the connective tissue to explain why Sheena wanted to ask Katie to give up her hotel room. And I think it's important just because it is a little empty if we don't have
that. Yeah, we need the context.
Yeah, you need the context. And I guess, you know, she could have just said it in a scene like, oh, Jamie called me the other day, but it just kind of, it's a little.
But then we wouldn't have gotten to see that scene. And how exactly. Good as gold was that scene?
It was good. As gold. Yeah, I think it was gold. I think it was probably a pickup just to have that connective tissue. Maybe initially they didn't think that they needed it. And maybe the network was like, no, we need something. Like, do you have that scene? And they just reshot it.
And Sheena was probably so excited. Because Sheena didn't have a lot of solo scenes, guys. At least not up really to this doesn't. Point. So she took that phone and she took it for every opportunity she could get. And she was like, baby, action, let's roll. Let's do it. And it seemed like a lot.
Mm-hmm. And she was acting. It was it was just funny. It was really, really hysterical. And it didn't bother me. I actually thought it was endearing because I know that she didn't want to do that, but it's just kind of ultimately what had to happen. I also thought maybe Jamie didn't want to sign a release. So,
well, yeah, because it probably would have been because I've seen multiple conversations where people are on speakerphone, right? So like
exactly. By the way, the dead giveaway was really that she wasn't speaking to her on speakerphone.
On speakerphone, yeah.
But yeah, I also thought maybe she didn't want to sign a release, so you can't really cover that phone call because she has to have...
Yeah, that makes sense.
They have to have the release to hear her voice, but Jamie's in the wedding, so we're going to see her at the wedding, and I doubt, knowing who she is, I doubt she wants...
Declined.
Exactly.
Declined. Yeah.
Not sign the release. So yeah, it could have been a myriad of things. Could have been a pickup. Jamie may have not been available, and it was something that you just needed really, really quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it was a fake phone call. Props to Sheena.
You know, not that this is a job out there, but I actually think that I would be really good at fake phone calls. So like, not that there's a niche for this, but just putting it out there, if anyone needs to learn how to be really realistic on a fake phone call, I think I'm the person that can help you. Give me a call.
As a producer, that's good to know.
Okay.
I've done fake phone calls. That's also how I knew. I've done these.
Yeah. Well, it seemed very fake.
Here's the thing. It was the last ditch effort. It was the best they could do.
Yeah.
They would have obviously gotten Jamie on the phone, but I'm telling you, it was just like in the moment, last minute, they had to get it. So you just have to get it the way you get it.
This is what we got. We got to go with it.
Yeah, this is just what we have.
So
yeah, back to Sheena and her stance on this hotel room.
Well, what I will say is I have a friend's wedding that is coming up that is all inclusive that we had to, that's actually in Mexico. We had to put a deposit down on our room.
Yeah.
I want to say 4 months in advance.
I mean, you don't have to, but if you don't, you might lose out on the block of rooms they have for the wedding.
Nothing happened to our deposit, so we ended up getting the room. So what I will say is that the story of the bridesmaid, Jamie, I don't believe the story that something happened to the deposit. Maybe she just didn't book in time. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I was a little lost, and maybe I misunderstood her. So she's saying that...
What Sheena is saying is that something happened to Jamie's deposit, and the room is not secure. And now the room is
booked.
Where did
it go?
Well, exactly. It blew away. It blew away in the invisible tunnel because she didn't do it. So Sheena's saying that, oh, something happened to her deposit, and now there's no space. But wait, I remember. Katie hates me, and Katie already got a room, and you know what? Katie doesn't want to go to the wedding, and Katie's going to make fun of me. I can already feel she's going to make fun of my dress.
She only said that so she could have even more reason and more validity in asking for her to give up her room.
I know. So what I'm going to say, my feelings on it is that, listen, I can understand that Katie is like, she could be the bigger person. No, I don't think, no.
No, fuck that.
You paid for your room. You keep your room. Your friend, the bridesmaid, should have done what she should have done. Katie said it. And she should have secured her room. When you were bullying everybody to get their room secured, your bridesmaid should have done that. I don't believe, I'm sorry. I understand mistakes do happen. I don't believe this is a situation that happened. I don't believe something happened to the deposit and now she didn't have a room.
Here's the thing. She waited until the last minute and then they were all booked up. And yeah. Sheena knows that. But Sheena also knows that reasoning isn't really going to land. So she's saying to Jamie, I'm just going to say that something happened to your deposit. Almost to say that Jamie's a victim. It wasn't because Jamie messed was absent-minded. Yeah. She's the victim in this. The victim?
Vikram.
Exactly. Almost saying that Jamie's a victim. Jesus. Almost trying to give the idea that Jamie is a victim in all of this and that it was the hotel's fault and not Jamie's.
Right.
Because that's not going to land when she ultimately is going to ask Katie to give up her room.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't land when she said that something happened to the deposit either.
Right. No. And I just, and I think I said to you off mic, I was like, even if, like, let's pretend in a world where Katie, they were still on good terms and Katie was going to the wedding, then where is Jamie going to stay? She's going to be on the beach? Is Jamie going to be on the beach with the waves? Like, come on.
I just find Sheena to be hysterical and, again, predictable because she couldn't just have one thing that she could bring up as reference to why Katie needs to give it up. She was like, you know what? I got to get my way or no way in this. So I've got many, many different hats I'm wearing. I'm going to say that, well, Katie, why would you even want to be there? All you do is make fun of me. I don't want to bully at my wedding. That'll land. Mm-hmm. Then
the
I'll
energy.
Also say, exactly. Then I'll say that Jamie's a victim in her deposit. We don't know what happened to the deposit, but she's a victim. She didn't forget. She's a victim. And then on top of it all, we're going to say that why is Katie even going? She doesn't even want to be there. Like, there was just three different things happening.
And I'm going to Venmo you. $1,000, Katie. Don't say it's about the money.
When she said that, I was thinking, Katie doesn't need the fucking money. So who the fuck are you fooling here? And also, because I had to, I looked up the hotel. This isn't some like boutique hotel where there's only so many rooms. It is a major resort.
Yeah, I assumed.
A major resort. Mm-hmm. And also, it's like $4,000 to stay there for 5 nights.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a trade out involved in this. And I'm sure they got some of the hotel for free. I hope. I mean, I pray that she did. If she didn't, we're not negotiating well. Yikes. But if I know Sheena, she's a negotiator.
Yeah.
As we saw in her first wedding.
Oh my God.
You get what you pay for. That coordinator was horrible. So hopefully this go around.
We're doing it again. Have her sing it again. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. I just was like, Sheena, I get that you don't want her there, but this would not have been a problem. It's only a problem now because Jamie fucked up and you're using all of these other excuses that probably didn't even pop into your head, but you needed to get your way. So you felt, well, if I say all these things, then maybe somebody will listen and they'll give up the room. But please, have you met Katie? Do you know Katie at all?
Yeah. And, you know,
it's just rude
for the people out there like, well, she should have given it up.
No.
It's a nice thing to do.
Blah, I don't give a fuck about the nice thing.
Who cares?
But the ideology and the notion that we should all just give up because, no, that's not fair. It's not fair. It sounds sad, but I'm like, it's not fair.
I also liked when Sheena said at some point in the episode, Katie said, well, I'm just going to go to Mexico and have a vacation. And Sheena says something like, well, I'm not trying to disinvite you from your vacation or something, as if Sheena has any control over inviting Katie to Mexico. It's like, Katie's already going to Mexico to have her vacation. And Sheena's like, well, I'm not trying to disinvite you from like Mexico and vacation time. Right. But like, it's like, okay, Sheena.
Well,
come
she tells her, she's like, well, Christina and I already have this.
She's like, I'm pretty sure Christina's not going because it's booked. Katie's like, well, no, I called him. Yeah, she's in. Like,
that just struck Sheena in the heart so fast. It did. I'm telling you, she had many trajectories that she thought that she could go down to get her way, and none of them worked. I'll give you money. You don't even want to be there. Wait, Christina's not invited to my wedding. Why is she there? Y'all are just going to make fun of me. Oh my God. It's like, okay, calm it down.
I will say though that, because I feel like we don't ever, I mean, we get flash forwards in the sense of like the beginning of the season. Oh, we'll get like a flash forward of like what's to come. But when's the last time that you can remember watching a scene, getting a flash forward of Katie and Christina watching her from the balcony?
Loved it.
Because it was like, guys, they're not just going to be watching you from the balcony, like making fun of you. But then we see a clip of them. Now, granted, we don't know that they're making fun of her, but like we see a clip of them literally in the balcony watching the wedding, which I thought was so great.
I loved it. And I'm so happy that they gave us that early.
Well, and I do too, because it made a really funny moment. And also there might be a show aspect as well that Katie's like, I'm going to go to Mexico. I'm going to be part of this episode. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to go. I've already paid for it. I don't need you to Venmo me. I've already made my peace with going. I'm just not going to go to your wedding. And, you know, I agree with Lala. It's a big resort. Sheena doesn't own it. And if Sheena lets the energy of Katie ruin her wedding, well, that's on Sheena. I agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
We saw the Sheena that we saw in her wedding episode those long seasons ago. The Sheena that was talking to the coordinator is the Sheena that we saw at the pool party talking to Katie.
Oh my gosh. Well, yikes. But yeah, I think we're on the same side of that one.
Also, I need Schwartz to butt out of this conversation. But how can he? Because Sheena runs outside almost as if to tattle on their little sister or sibling that did something wrong. I mean, runs. Your ex-wife is a bitch. Is that what she says?
What does she say? I don't think she says a bitch. No, she doesn't say pathetic. That's what Raquel says.
So don't say it's about the money because I'm fixing that problem right now. Okay. Huh? We'll see about what? Dude, your ex-wife is pathetic. I'm sorry.
What did she say exactly?
I don't care. I want to go to Mexico and I'm going. She's bringing a friend. She's having a vacation and she doesn't give a what I want. I don't want her energy around me at all.
Runs to Schwartz and I'm going, Sheena, rein it the fuck in, dude.
Yeah.
And then Schwartz gets involved and gets on a soapbox telling Katie that she's in the fucking wrong. Who the fuck are you to tell anybody that they're in the wrong?
Let's back it up just a second, because right after Sheena runs out, Schwartz makes that like offhanded joke being like, okay, guys, I got it. Let's just, I'll tell Katie I'm getting back with her and that way she'll stay near the resort or something. As if we don't know that Katie's the one that asked for the divorce. Like, get a fucking grip. And I know that his thing is that like everything's a joke and nothing's
self-deprecating.
Yeah, self-deprecating. Yeah. Everything's supposed to be taken like lightly. But that moment really, really grossed me out. And I felt really embarrassed for him. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to be embarrassed for him because he's an idiot. He's a smart idiot because he knows exactly what he's doing. And the gig's up. Just like Sandoval's cheating gig is up. The gig is up for Schwartz being like the dumb that's like just the fun guy that doesn't really know. He knows everything and he's just an asshole.
100%. When Katie arrives, the first thing out of his mouth is, what's that smell?
Yeah, I had to watch that 3 times because I got it wrong twice.
What did you think it meant?
I honestly thought that he was like, I thought that she was saying something smells. He was like, I just did a pickleback shot. Like, I got everything backwards.
Well, maybe I have it wrong, but the way that I took it.
No, I think you got it right.
He was trying to make a joke. Like, what's that smell? Katie's here.
Come on.
Oh, it's like very 8th grade.
Right. Well,
it's very like.
If it checks out then.
Who farted? Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. God.
But yes, going back to what you were saying, then it turns. Also, I feel like when I watched this episode, I was thinking, you know what? Y'all are getting separated. Schwartz, here is finally your chance to not be involved. Because I feel like their entire fucking relationship.
He's always Schwartz told her.
Hated always having to be involved.
He always felt like she pulled him in the input.
Oh, I always have. You're always trying to make me want to defend you. You say, I don't ever have your back. I don't want to be involved. Here's an example. I don't care if Sheena came out and said, your ex-wife is on fire. You don't need to go in and put her out. It's not your responsibility anymore. So the fact that he was even involved in this conversation of like, well, Katie, just be the bigger person, just give up the room, blah, blah, blah. Why are you even fucking involved? This is exactly the thing that you said that you didn't want any part of. But here 100%. You are, right next to Katie, blah, 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 just talking it up. And that really was the first point of him in that episode that I was like, I'm really fucking annoyed. Well, the second after he made that joke.
He never misses an opportunity to just take a dig at her all the time. All the fucking time. I understand that he was kind of joking when he was like, oh, what's that smell? But just like, leave her alone.
No,
he just leave her the fuck alone. And he picks and he picks and he picks and he picks and he picks. And he picks so much that she gets hurt. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. He's just like very that. And it's so toxic. And I gotta be honest, it's just really kind of abusive. Like, I'm just gonna needle, 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 needle. It's just gross. And he's always been like that with her.
Yeah. What does he say? You have to stop being so emotionally
entitled.
That's what he says. You have to stop being so emotionally entitled.
Mm-hmm.
And it upsets her in a way that she is like, I need to leave.
Yeah. So rightfully so.
Right. So she exits. Instead of just letting it be that, just calling it a day, exactly what your point was just now, instead of that being that, he's now like, oh, wait, am I an asshole? Like, she's leaving. Did I do Bubba? By the way, I need them to stop calling each other Bubba.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about?
Stop it. I know it's a habit that's going to die hard. Y'all need to stop calling each other that.
But I think he called her that.
He did.
No, but I'm saying I think he called her that almost as a way to do the thing that you say that you no longer are going to do, which is give him a pass at being the charming, charismatic shorts. He did it almost to endear her, to make her feel a little bit more warmth and vulnerable to him being there.
Yeah, and they need to stop. And I will say that I think he does it more than she does, so I think that tracks.
Yeah, I mean, guys, there was only so long this was going to last. Because if
I think it's going to get worse. But
I know, but if you've ever been through a divorce, I think everybody starts off saying we're going to be friends. And look, I'm not saying that can never happen, but usually, more often than not, the friendship does not start right away. It's not that easy because you're trying to uncondition what it was like to be married to somebody.
Yeah.
And whether you're trying to unlearn and recondition what it's like to be outside of a relationship that was tethered for you for so long, and it's hard to differentiate or to compartmentalize.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they mean to all the time. It's just habit because
it's habitual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in order to recondition yourself, you have to spend more time apart. And it's just not really what we're seeing.
Yeah.
But I think this is the start of that.
Well, yeah. So he goes out there and, you know, he's like, seems like he's flabbergasted or like confused as to why she was leaving us or why she could be upset. And then he's like, oh, and I can't remember. She's like, you know, quit getting in the middle of Sheena or something. And he's like, why? Why should Sheena apologize? I think that's what she said. She's like, Sheena owes me an apology. And he's like, why? And then she's like, you know what? Fuck it. And stop it. I don't want to talk to you about this. He's like, why? You look really pretty today.
Yeah,
You look really cute. I'm like, stop it. Stop. He's like,
it's very childlike.
It's like he's short, like, what's it called?
Short circuiting.
Yeah. Where he's like, oh, wait, what did I used to say when we were together? You're pretty. Oh, blah, I love you. Oh, it's like, stop it. Like, these things are not going to work anymore because y'all are not a couple.
Nope.
So stop. And if he was going to be an asshole and said what he said to her, then he needed to have walked away, let her leave, and then call it a day. But the fact that he ran after her,
here's the thing.
Gross. That was a really disturbing scene.
He's such a douchebag. He's such an asshole to her. But what I will say is if you're going to have any conviction, stand by it. If you're going to be an asshole, stand by that. But you can't because you're a fucking coward.
Yeah.
You can't even commit long enough to being a dick to your ex-wife. That's how loser and pathetic you are.
Yeah. Well, and just backtracking just a little bit back to that scene when they were playing ping pong outside when, you know, Sheena comes out. Schwartz is like, well, I feel like I have to say something because I'm Brock's. I'm in the wedding. I'm a groomsman. And as a groomsman, I feel like I need to say something. Why?
Shut the fuck
up. You've known Brock for what, 2 years? But you've never stood up for Katie. And I do like when Katie had that moment when she was like, you know, I thought it was maybe just me being his wife that he can never deal with. But now I'm starting to realize that it's not me being his wife. It's me being Katie. He just doesn't stick up for Katie.
I don't know what it is, but he resents her for something. It's like, I don't think he hates her, but when this Schwartz comes out, it's disconcerting because where is this coming from?
Yeah.
What about her do you resent so much?
Yeah.
Because he gets nasty.
Yeah.
He gets fucking nasty.
It's gross.
And it made me feel smothered when he ran out after her. I'm like, just give her some fucking space. You fucking just made her feel like absolute shit. And now you want to get on top of that?
And for what?
Leave her alone. Yeah. Leave her alone. And you can hear it in her voice. She's like, she thinks she says that. Leave me alone. I'm just trying to get my Uber. I'll call an Uber for you. Shut up. Yeah. You and your best friend deserve each other.
Yeah.
Do you need anything from the kitchen? Like, stop it. Stop with the pleasantries. Please, just be the asshole that you are. I don't need this. What you're saying isn't helping me. You're a dick.
Yeah.
I don't need you to get me an Uber. Production will get me an Uber. Stop it.
Yeah.
And that even made me mad because the production will get her an Uber. Stop trying to make yourself look good on camera. And you fucking know that. Shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah.
And Sandoval too. Can I get you anything? Shut up. Leave her alone. If she wants to get something,
you can die.
I can certainly assure you she doesn't want to get it from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I know we went a little out of order with the pool party because I kind of wanted to save the best for last. Raquel, Sandoval, Lala, and whatever the fuck that mess was, and Ariana, knowing what we know now, I am enraged. I'm enraged. I'm enraged because, well, when Lala tells Raquel that she needs to get over it, and the context of that is that James and Lala slept together.
But I do feel like there is some unresolved shit about the you and James stuff. We moved on. She moved on.
She needs to get her head checked.
No.
That's
unfair. That's mean.
Katie, here's the thing with you. If somebody doesn't have your exact perspective, they're somehow wrong.
Tom, I'm walking away because I'm not doing Tom against the girls thing.
We're not doing that today?
We had an entire day and everything like that, and then I had full whiflash, and I was like, am I having a fever dream? Like, so this is what I'm saying about getting a head check, because I thought everything was clear. I thought we were all on the same page. It wasn't just me. Are you here to partake in the conversation?
Yeah, what's the issue?
You tell us.
Lala, literally, like, Raquel,
put a thought together. I know you can do it.
Girl, Lala literally
Jesus,
went.
Like, dude, can you stop? I can't unsee the bully that you were to her for no reason. For no reason.
No, there was a reason.
To literally flex her
power. Why is because she slept with James while we were together.
You had moved on from that.
That is not the reason.
You have moved on from it. You have moved on from it. She has not. She just got this information 2 weeks ago.
You're a bully. You're pathetic. I don't need this energy in my life. I've learned my lesson with James, and I'm finally learning my lesson with you. And if you guys are gonna like be a little like Chihuahua followers, like, literally, I'm done.
Why do you keep mentioning me? I did nothing wrong.
Because Lala brought it up to me a few weeks ago.
How do you expect us to even be cool? Like, I'm putting in such a, like, good effort, but then every time I turn my head or hear you, you're talking negative about me. You don't need to put me in the same boat as everything all the time, okay?
Do you understand, like, how it has affected me emotionally, knowing that you guys have kept this secret from me for years?
And I'm not proud of all of that. I'm not.
I feel like at this point, I need this to be squashed today.
We will never be friends.
Okay, that's fine.
We will never see eye to eye.
All right, you've told me this. I'm so bored. Are you literally done? Are you finished? I'm so bored. You've said it 6 times. Are you done?
You literally, like,
oh my God,
you
she's
give
so
off
she's
mistress
so
bimbo she's vibes, and I cannot stand it.
My God.
I think the thing that enraged me the most in watching the scene is that when the topic gets brought up about what transpired in Lake Havasu and how Raquel felt leaving and all that shit, and it gets brought up that Raquel's upset, and rightfully so, in this moment, not knowing what we know. I get it. She's upset. She's still trying to process the fact that Lala slept with James, and I don't negate the fact that that takes time to get over, and she just found out. However, now knowing that they had just fucked in the car outside of Ariana and Tom's house while Ariana was upstairs grieving the dog, and she has the fucking audacity to stand there and say that she's upset because Lala treated her the way that she did, and Sandoval comes in and gets on the soapbox to tell Lala that how fucking dare you? You just told her that you slept with her ex and she's still processing, and just because you're over it doesn't mean that she is. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? You just fucked each other, I don't know, maybe 48 hours ago, outside in the car.
Yeah.
Why? How? I felt like, are you guys, it felt like psychotic. I was like, oh my God, are you a sociopath? Like, how can you, I mean, he's a bad actor, but in this moment, I'm like, I believe you.
No, I never believe him.
No, I mean, I believe you in his, no, but I'm saying, like, I believe you in your stance and your passion for Raquel. And I'm going, yes. How the fuck do you have any dignity being able to do that in your kitchen at a pool party that your girlfriend wanted to have because she wanted to have some more fun because she's so sad. And you're fighting with Lala because she thinks that Raquel needs to get over the fact that they fucked 5 years ago. Here's what I'll say. I don't disagree. I do think that people need time to process things. And there's an element here where I'm going, okay, well, Lala, that's not really fair because, you know, you can't dictate how people process shit like that. You just told her. She's been gaslit for 5 years. So, you know, I expect her to take a second or two to process. Like, I agree with Sandoval.
Right.
Yeah. But not knowing that they fucked in the car a couple of days ago. Yeah. What the fuck? It just felt so like that moment when you find out that your husband has been leading a second life and you just feel scared. You feel scared that you don't, you feel scared that you didn't know the person who's been sleeping next to you every night.
Sleeping with the enemy.
Honestly, though, Betsy, honestly, the way that they were both able to just jump into this fight talking about infidelity and processing when they literally just fucked 36 hours, 48 hours ago in Ariana's car.
That's the jarring thing is because I didn't know that.
Like, do you have no guilt? That's what I mean. Like, don't you feel guilty?
No, of course he doesn't.
I would feel guilty. Not guilty. I would just feel like we just did that. And I don't know if I'm like, I don't want to be involved in this conversation because I just fucked Raquel.
No, it's jarring because of what you told me that now I know the specifics of when everything happened. And that's kind of, you know, wow. But no, it doesn't take anything away from what I think he was saying, because he is in that moment, he is saying kind of what we all agree with. You know, yeah, Lala, it's over for you because you fucked James 5 years ago, but she just found out about it 5 minutes ago. I mean, obviously it was more than that. It was probably like
a few weeks ago.
Yeah, a week ago or something, whatever. Yeah. So what, you can't expect her to be over it. That's the appropriate thing to say. And that's what he likes to do. He likes to perform on camera. He likes to be the good guy looking out for the weaker person.
But it was chilling because it was so good. He didn't really break. I didn't find a moment where I was like, you know.
But that's because I think he does this all the time.
Correct.
That's why touché. I think that, that's why I think that this is a dime a dozen.
Touché.
I'm not impressed by him.
Kristen, Miami girl, touche.
But I think knowing what we know now, yeah, I think we can go back and watch it and be like, God, he's even grosser than I thought. Gross. I thought he was gross, but he's even grosser than I thought. And it just kills me for Ariana. But at the same time, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that finally she can get out and she is relieved from this disgusting human.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that this had to have happened, but look at how everyone's rallying behind her and she is going to be thriving.
I mean, she's having a moment. I know that it's born out of trauma and tragedy, but she's having a moment.
And she deserves it.
What? She just booked a role on a Lifetime movie. Ariana.
Did she?
Yes.
Oh my God, can we watch that together?
She's going to be in the ranks with another favorite of ours, Garcelle Bonnet.
Oh God, great company, baby.
No.
Oh my God, can we somehow get them on a Lifetime movie together?
Oh, that'd be so God, fun. I would die for that. I'm excited for her.
I'm excited for her too.
Yeah.
She's got that devil off of her shoulder. She is going to rock and roll, baby.
I mean, I wonder what it feels like not to have to carry that slob on your back.
He's disgusting. But what I will say before we kind of wrap it up, because this is something I also noticed in this episode, and I think like most of us, we've been kind of rewatching older episodes, older seasons, just to kind of, you know, do it, you know, whatever. And historically, through Sandoval and Ariana's relationship, Ariana always, I mean, they would fight sometimes within themselves, but when it came to the group, Ariana always had his back. I'm thinking about, you know, the Jack situation with the pastor, she had his back. The Stassi book signing, she had his back. All of this stuff, when anytime Sandoval had an issue with the group, Ariana was always there on Sandoval's side. Like, no, he, X, Y, and Z. Like, she was there.
And she's his biggest fan, like every girlfriend of his.
Even the little small glimpse of this episode tonight, when the only thing Tom said was like, well, Katie, if people don't see it how you see it, you don't agree. And that was all she needed to hear, was saying, you know what, Tom? Ariana said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing Tom against the women. And she left. And I think that that's also more so than like, oh, well, we never have sex. We don't ever see each other. I think it has more to do with that.
100%.
The fact that she doesn't back him anymore and she's not blindly just always going after his point of view and always backing him. That has left the building. And I think he feels that more so than anything else.
It's so funny because I was actually just talking about that today on the phone with a friend of mine. I actually pointed that out. Yeah. I said the same thing. I was like, Ariana's too independent and comfortable in a way that makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because ultimately he knows that she doesn't need him and that makes him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He needs to feel needed. Yep. And he knows that at the end of the day, no matter what happens, Ariana doesn't need him. Ariana will do fine just on her own.
Better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
It's so true. It's really what it is.
Yeah.
Raquel's the damsel in distress and he's the prince, the knight in shining armor.
Disgusting.
Wow.
Wow. Oh my God. That's insane.
I mean, finding this out today, I feel like I just need to pop a Xanax and go to bed.
Yep. Lisa Rinna would approve.
Yeah. Because I watched this episode and I took notes, and then
you found that out,
and
you
and said, then I went, "Cool, got to throw those away. Burn them.
Throw the phone out the window."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but mm-hmm. it's actually that scene. Remember when Jax throws the phone against the wall, and Schwartz goes, "Oh, is that my phone? I need that.
That's my phone. That's my phone, dude. That's my phone." He's like, "It's not your phone. It's my phone." He's like, "Man, it's my phone."
But did you hear me? He goes, "Oh wait, I need that." That's how yeah. I felt. It's like yeah, you yeah, throw yeah. your phone at the window. You're like, "Wait, actually, I need that phone. So let me go down and get my phone."
All guys,
you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. And I'm glad that I know this now. And I know exactly, well, I don't know if it's the first time, but to me, it solidifies it's it being the first time. The
very first time.
And now I feel like I can appropriately recap the rest of these episodes knowing that they fucked in the car in front of their home while Ariana is grieving upstairs. I'm going to keep saying that over and over again because it's so trash. I have to keep saying it that way because it's so horrifying and so shitty Ugh. That I'm thinking, God, you really need, I think you really Ugh. Need a psychoanalyzation.
Yeah. And Ariana, mm-hmm. you got rid of the worst part of you, which was him.
Honestly, you got to cut that.
The only
out.
Thing that I was like, oh, I can't fully love Ariana because she dates this loser. And I never saw what she saw in him. I didn't get it. And now I'm like, I don't have to worry about it because he's a loser. With Kristen, with Kristen, I was like, oh, that makes sense. But with Ariana, yeah. I was like, nah, she needs to
But
get
he also
rid of
made
him.
Kristen crazy because he Listen, gaslit
I,
her.
I love Kristen. I think Kristen was a dynamite for TV, but they made more sense than
yeah.
he and Ariana.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us on our VPR recap.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that knowing what you know now, you'll be able to watch these episodes with a wider
with
lens.
With arms wide open.
Please stop. What? I can't even believe you brought Creed into my household.
Oh my God. That's just what came into my...
I need to sage.
That's what just came
Get
into my...
Get it out. Get it out. Stop. No. What's next, Nickelback? Make it
Look at this photograph.
Stop.
That's the only part I know.
No.
Look
no,
what's
no,
on
no,
Joey's
no, 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 no.
head or something.
Stop it. Stop it.
That's all I know.
Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. And as yes. always, please do not forget to like and subscribe. You can find us on all major platforms. We are Reality Bites Podcast. And we are Reality Bites Podcast on Instagram. Give us a little follow. DM us. I love engaging with you guys.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for joining us at our TED Talk about infidelity. All right, guys, have a great night. Adios.
Bye.